that among the stories we're following for you right now. Syrian armored units today have thrust through a point just 16 miles from the city of Beirut, Lebanon.
Secretary of State Kissinger has arrived in Santiago, Chile for the meeting of the Organization of American States.
President Ford, campaigning in Ohio, said he has approved import quotas on stainless steel. He claims the move will mean more jobs for Americans.
Hubert Humphrey said today he believes primary victories for Jimmy Carter in Ohio and New Jersey would make the Georgian virtually unstoppable as the Democratic nominee at the July Democratic Convention.
India's Prime Minister Gandhi will leave for Moscow tomorrow for important talks with Soviet leader Brezhnev. All news, all day, every day. This is your news and information service. With Alan Walden, I'm Cameron Swayze.
WNIS FM, Chicago.
It's 87 degrees at 2:59 and nothing but sunny and warm weather in the forecast. Good afternoon, I'm Rick Selinger. And among the stories we're updating at this hour, Chicago tax may hit the suburbs. Patricia Colombo makes her plea, and Hubert Humphrey talks about the presidential race. If a plan goes through, the employers in Cook County may have to pay a tax for Chicago businesses. The Chicago businesses now face. Cook County Board President George Dunn has proposed that all businesses in the county which employ 15 or more persons pay a head tax of $3 per person per month. WNIS reporter Bill Cameron has more on that.
Daily Democrats have the votes to pass this election year tax increase. What it amounts to is expanding the city head tax countywide. It's a $3 a month tax that employers must pay for each of their employees. Critics of the city tax say it discourages business expansion and sometimes drives business completely out. Suburban Commissioner Hal Terrell, the county GOP chairman, says that factor gives him reservations.
If it's going to affect as a business to move out of Cook County, then it becomes a questionable tax. However, I would like to check it before I make any comments on it.
However, suburban commissioners do not have the votes to stop the tax, and so its passage looks assured. Bill Cameron at City Hall.
And what do the businessmen think of this? On our WNIS live line is Illinois State Chamber of Commerce President Lester Brand. Sir?
Well, what does Commerce think of this head tax for the suburbs?
Rick, I can't believe that the county would be considering a head tax at this time with all the great concern throughout the state about our business climate and about Illinois' future economic growth. I would think that any such tax of this nature would be extremely counterproductive.
What do you think the result would be?
Well, we already know that there's a substantial out-migration of businesses from Chicago and from Cook County, a lot of it into the western suburbs, a lot into northern Illinois, other parts of the state, and some of it out of state. I think this kind of thing is just adding another burden on business that will cause a lot of business people to say this is not the kind of atmosphere in which we want to develop, expand, locate, and so forth.
Well, you say that the tax that they have, the head tax in Chicago, has forced businesses to move out to the suburbs. Where do they go if the suburbs have it now?
Well, we're talking the suburbs of Cook County, of course, and there are a lot of suburbs beyond Cook County that have enjoyed tremendous industrial growth the last several years. Surveys in the Chicago area show this out-migration. I thought that Chicago learned somewhat of a lesson in imposing their head tax. The city government has heard a great deal from employers on this as being a great burden on a lot of businesses, particularly those that are very labor-intensive. Now for the county to come along and throw this tax on a large number of businesses that are found in the suburban portion of Cook County is just going to be, I think, adverse to the long-range aims of this area, and that is to produce solid economic growth.
Mr. Brown, as long as we have you on our live line here, I also understand on a different subject that the National Association of Manufacturers and the Chambers of Commerce throughout the United States, the two largest business organizations, are merging. How do you feel about this?
Well, I think this is a move in the right direction to merge both the U.S. Chamber and the National Association of Manufacturers. It will provide, undoubtedly, a much stronger organization at the national level to treat with all of these problems that have concerned the business people throughout the country. It has been long in coming, I know, and I'm pleased that it's now coming about. I think it's just going to be a move in the right direction.
Thank you very much. Illinois State Chamber of Commerce President Lester Brand. WNIS News Time is 3:03. The plea is innocent by 19-year-old Patricia Colombo. She's the woman charged with murdering her mother, father, and brother last month in their suburban Elk Grove Village home. Dressed in a peach-colored knit blouse and skirt with black high-heeled shoes, she appeared pale during the hearing before Judge Richard Fitzgerald. During that hearing, their attorneys asked the judge to impound tape recordings of telephone calls that Ms. Colombo made to them before her arrest. The U.S. Supreme Court is refusing to hear a case brought by Chicago Afro-American Patrolman's League head Renault Robinson. That case was a disorderly conduct charge which he claimed showed that the city discriminated against him because he criticized police policies. Those policies he's referring to is the police discrimination suit which resulted in the withholding of more than $100 million in city funds. WNIS News Time, now 3:04. Coming up next, Mayor Daley testifies in Washington.
Honey, have you seen my pinstripe suit? I'm going to go drop it off at the cleaners.
Oh, you're going to the cleaners. Wait a minute. I want to send the dining room drapes. Illinois Cleaners does a great job on drapes. Pillows, too. In fact, I think I'll send some of those...
Hold it. That's enough for one trip.
Oh, don't worry. I'll call Illinois Cleaners for pickup and delivery.
Oh, no. I can manage. I'm not paying for delivery.
Honey, it's free.
Free? In that case, give them a call.
Free pickup and delivery is just one way Illinois Cleaners really gives you your money's worth. Marbury, the cleaning family, offers exceptional cleaning services for everything, from hats to leathers and furs, out-of-season wardrobe storage, too. For pickup information, call Illinois Cleaners at 232-9690. 232-9690.
Illinois Cleaners in Barrington, Mount Prospect, Arlington Heights, Palatine, and the western suburbs. Mayor Daley testifying in Washington today against the right of the states to withhold Medicaid money from hospitals. Such action by the state has put several Chicago hospital facilities in deep financial trouble, said the mayor.
The Chicago Hospital Council has warned that at least 8 Chicago hospitals are fighting to survive. Their struggle has been brought about by the refusal of the state of Illinois to comply with the law and the failure of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare to enforce it.
Daley was testifying at hearings before a U.S. Senate Finance Subcommittee on Health. They're considering legislation that would deprive hospitals of the right to sue the state for Medicaid money. The Department of Housing and Urban Development has just held a news conference at this hour to discuss housing in the suburbs in the form of public housing. On our WNIS Live line is reporter Bob Phillips. Bob, what came out of this news conference?
Okay, essentially what happened, Rick, is that the American Civil Liberties Union and officials of HUD announced a court-approved plan for future public housing on an metropolitan area-wide basis. Now, what will happen is that HUD will develop a one-year demonstration program intended to house approximately 400 plaintiff class families in existing housing throughout the Chicago metropolitan area. Basically, they'll be distributed this way, approximately 100 to 150 units for Cook County and approximately 25 to 40 units for each of the other 5 counties in the metropolitan area, and then anywhere from none to 100 units for Chicago, plus designated minority areas outside Chicago. Now, when all this will take place is not particularly clear at this time. The Leadership Council for Metropolitan Open Communities will appoint, or rather will provide services of approximately 6 professional and 3 clerical employees to locate, counsel, and assist members in these plaintiff classes to find existing units. And the plan is for the Leadership Council to begin on or about July 1st. And so it will have to be after that time before these people are actually moved. It's going to be on an experimental basis. What's going to happen after the year is up, no one knows for sure. A letter was distributed at the news conference, incidentally, from Carla Hills, who is the, the secretary of HUD. Right. In Washington, and she says that she is pleased that the department has been able to reach an agreement with the plaintiffs in the litigation known as the famous case of the Gautreaux litigation in Chicago, under which the parties can work together on the implementation of the housing and community development program. So everybody's pretty happy that they handled it the way they did, and we'll just have to see what's going to happen as far as about who is involved. Oh, and incidentally, one more thing, too. This is not court-ordered. It's court-approved, but not court-ordered, and it is strictly on a voluntary basis, right?
Okay, WNIS reporter Bob Phillips on the live line. A 3-month study is recommending that Cook County Hospital spread out. That study says they should reduce the concentration of patients at its single West Side location and spread them among community hospitals. That study was prepared by the Institute of Medicine. The Chicago Board of Health president is threatening to close Tabernacle Hospital. Dr. Eric Oldberg says they'll close it unless the hospital can prove that none of its revenue is being diverted to support the Tabernacle Baptist Church. The hospital is located at 5421 South Morgan Avenue. A hearing on this matter is set for July 15th. Speaking of hospitals, Governor Walker is about to enter Highland Park Hospital. Either tomorrow or Wednesday, he'll undergo surgery to have his gallbladder removed. He's expected to spend about 10 days in the hospital. First on the agenda, though, will be to sign a bill putting back to work the maintenance men and Minutemen Expressway distress crews who were laid off this morning due to lack of funds. On the political scene, Hubert Humphrey is in town, and of all things, plugging a book. But naturally, the presidential race was on his and everyone else's mind, including WNIS reporter Al Swanson.
With Jimmy Carter's sister Ruth Stapleton still in the room from another news conference, Humphrey denied he's part of a Stop Carter movement. Humphrey says Carter will have momentum if he wins the Ohio and New Jersey primaries tomorrow. Humphrey is in town to plug his book, The Education of a Public Man, and he said he'd like to autograph a copy for Mayor Daley.
If he can find the time in his schedule, and if I can work it in, I want to present him with a copy of this book, because he's mentioned in it. I've always felt that this mayor was one of the outstanding public officials of our country. He has not always found me maybe in that category, but I just think he's a terrific mayor, and he's a great Democrat.
Humphrey was surprised at reports Daley might pledge Illinois' uncommitted delegates to Carter, but then Humphrey said Daley does what he wants to do. Al Swanson at McCormick Place.
And now here's the AccuWeather forecast for Chicago.
Sunny, very warm days and fair nights through Wednesday. Daytime highs will climb to within a few degrees of 90 each afternoon, except a minimal lake breeze will keep it cooler right near the water. Overnight low temperatures 64 to 68. For AccuWeather, this is meteorologist John Cosette.
Right now it's 74 degrees at the lakefront, but considerably warmer away from the lake. It's 87 at both Midway and O'Hare. Humidity at 35%. The winds are out of the southwest at 8 miles an hour. And the barometer reading 30.09 inches. On your news and information station, WNIS, Chicago. Where our news time is now 3:10, and time for our Chicago Tribune Action Line.
A Southeast Sider writes Action Line, the windows on the public aid envelopes, which contain assistance checks, are too wide. They show the amount on the check so that every Tom, Dick, and Harry at the post office can see what you get. Also, others can see and go tell all your friends what you get. Something should be done to make the windows smaller and not in clear view. Please raise this issue with the proper authorities. For the answer and what Action Line did, we turn to Action Line's Joe Pete.
Illinois Comptroller George W. Lindbergh examined the tattletale envelopes and concluded that the privacy of public recipients was being violated. As a result, he instructed his staff to print the amount a line or two lower on assistant checks so that no longer will be visible. Before the check amounted appeared in two places. In the upper right corner of the check, it was not visible through the yellow envelope. But the amount in the lower right-hand side could be seen through the 6-inch cellophane window when the check shifted to the upper left-hand corner inside the envelope. The amounts should not be visible on your next check.
And that's how Action Line handled one problem. You can read more Action Line in today's Chicago Tribune. I'm Pat Cassidy.
WNIS News Time is 3:11, brought to you by all of the above in the warehouse. Remember Father's Day by giving Dad his own set of handcrafted wooden toys. All of the above at 1750 North Clark. Now let's check sports, including a major trade in the NBA.
The Atlanta Hawks of the NBA recently completed their worst season in history. I'm Nat Ash. It was therefore anticipated that the Hawks would not merely exercise their first choice in tomorrow's annual college draft. It was expected they would flagellate it, choosing 7-foot Robert Parrish of Centenary. It will not be. The Hawks traded away their number one selection to the Houston Rockets. Big Barry Warner is on the live line from Houston, and he has the story. Barry, sock it to me.
Well, the big reason why the Atlanta Hawks coach, Hubie Brown, wouldn't be taking Robert Parrish, a lot of the pro scouts have the tendency to feel that Mr. Parrish is a little bit lethargic, does not exactly come up and down the court the way that you need it in the NBA. That's not to say he's not a good basketball player, but he hasn't convinced Hubie Brown that he could step in and do the job right away. The 6'10" forward center, Joe C. Merriweather, the Rockets' number one pick last year from Southern Illinois, the key man for Hubie Brown. He goes to Atlanta along with 6'6" reserve guard Gus Bailey, the Rockets' number one pick. And coming to the Rockets will be Dwight Jones and the number one pick, who Ray Patterson said will be John Lucas, the All-American guard for Maryland. So John Lucas will be in the backcourt with Mike Newland and Calvin Murphy. Barry Warner in Houston.
Okay, meanwhile, back at the NBA's branch, the colleges, Tennessee basketball superstar Bernard King has decided not to turn professional. King was disappointed at not making the Olympic team and was considering turning pro. Today, however, he asked the NBA to remove his name from its hardship list, which would have made him eligible for tomorrow's draft. King said, "I felt like I would be letting my teammates and the university down. I guess Tennessee matched the offer. The 19-year-old King has two more years of college eligibility, but he declined to speculate on whether he'll remain at Tennessee after next year. In hockey, superstar defenseman Bobby Orr will sign a 5-year, $3 million contract with the Chicago Blackhawks. It's 13 after the up.
And the temperature reading in Chicago, a very warm 87 degrees. And this all puts our WNIS news time down at 3:13.
With special small car savings throughout the month of June. For example, right now, Woodfield Ford's offering the 1976 Pinto MPG for only $29.64. The 1976 Maverick has been reduced to only $29.79, and Woodfield Ford has discounted the 1976 Mustang MPG to only $33.37. And all these low Woodfield Ford prices include destination and dealer preparation charges. And not only will you save on the price, you'll save on gas, too. The Pinto MPG and the Mustang MPG get 32 miles per gallon on the highway, 22 in the city, and the Maverick gets 28 on the highway and 18 in the city per EPA tests. Of course, the mileage you get may vary. Woodfield Ford is swinging into summer. Why not just swing by and swing a deal? Woodfield Ford, located on Gulf Road, 1 mile west of the Woodfield Mall in Schaumburg.
WNIS News Time, 3:14. And among the stories we're following at this hour, Cook County Board President George Dunn is proposing a $3 per person per month head tax for all businesses employing over 15 persons in the county. 19-year-old Patricia Colombo has pleaded innocent on charges of murdering her mother, father, and brother in their suburban Elk Grove Village home. Governor Walker is entering Highland Park Hospital for an operation to have his gallbladder removed. We'll have these stories plus more, including a look at the traffic, coming up here on your news and information station, 101 FM, WNIS Chicago. It's 3:15.
Rosemary Ficino.
I'm Dave Henderson with your news and information service.
President Ford wound up an intensive campaign effort through Ohio today. He told an enthusiastic audience in the Buckeye State that he had just signed documents imposing a quota system on imports of foreign-made stainless steel.
Yesterday, before I took off to come to Ohio, I signed the necessary document that imposes the import quota on stainless steel, and it will go into effect, period.
Mr. Ford announced his approval of the quotas in Middletown, Ohio, where the major industry is Armco Steel. He said the quotas will mean more jobs for Americans. They might also mean, say some observers, a few pennies more in prices for stainless steel products. Mr. Ford is favored to win tomorrow's presidential primary in Ohio. On the Republican side, Ronald Reagan appears well ahead in the California winner-take-all GOP primary.
The last big primary day of the election year coming up tomorrow, Senator Hubert Humphreys says he thinks Jimmy Carter can sew up the Democratic nomination if he wins two of tomorrow's contests. But Humphrey sees a different scenario if Carter fails to do that. Humphrey said if Carter wins the Ohio and New Jersey primaries tomorrow, he's almost certain to be the Democratic candidate in November. Humphrey said if Carter wins only one of those states, the Democratic convention will be, in Humphrey's words, wide open. Humphrey has said he'll be available if the convention finds itself deadlocked.
Jimmy Carter spent his last day before the primaries tomorrow campaigning furiously in Ohio. At stake on the Democratic side are 540 delegate votes, about one-third of the total needed to secure the nomination. Today, the former Georgia governor picked up the endorsement of a powerful force on Capitol Hill. Connecticut Senator Abraham Ribicoff announced his backing for Carter on the Senate floor. Afterwards, he talked with reporters discussing Carter's religious beliefs and his run for the presidency.
No man should be denied an opportunity for the presidency because of the state and his religion. A Georgia Baptist is just as much entitled to be a president of the United States as a Massachusetts Catholic or a Connecticut Jew.
Senator Abraham Ribicoff. Carter is favored to take Ohio. Congressman Morris Udall and Idaho Senator Frank Church are expected to split the liberal vote in that state. In California, Governor Jerry Brown is the big favorite. In New Jersey, Carter faces no serious challenge.
Leaders of a group called the Women's Campaign Fund say they're launching a drive to break up what they term a virtually exclusive men's club in the U.S. Senate. They say the fund will contribute $100,000 to female senatorial candidates this November. The fund's leaders say the money's needed because women candidates have been largely excluded from distribution of campaign funds through the regular party machinery.
The disastrous fall of the British pound sterling in recent weeks has prompted action on the part of the United States and 10 other nations. The 11 countries will make $5 billion available to Great Britain to help it through the crisis. Joseph Coyne, a spokesman for the Federal Reserve, made an announcement of U.S. plans to aid Britain in a statement today in Washington.
These arrangements have been made in the light of the recent fall in the value of the pound sterling under exchange market pressures, which have led to disorderly market conditions, and in the common interest in the stability and efficient functioning of the international monetary system.
The money will be made available as a standby credit to be borrowed when needed by the Bank of England. It greatly increases the money available to defend the sterling rate on foreign exchange markets.
The war in Lebanon may be evolving into a war between intervening Syrian troops and Palestinian guerrillas. The Palestinians have joined Muslim leftists resisting Syria's efforts to impose peace by military occupation. Fierce fighting reported on four fronts across Lebanon, with the biggest battle apparently shaping up in Beirut. Syrian jets strafed parts of the capital today, and Syrian troops and armored units drove to within about 15 miles of the city. Time now is 19 minutes after the hour.
The federal government is apparently pleased with the latest economic figures. More on that story from business reporter Jim Newman.
The inflation and unemployment rates are acceptable to government economists. Figures released last week show that employment is at an all-time high to 87.7 million persons. We might see the jobless rate swelling in the summer months due to schools letting out. Wholesale prices showed a rise of less than half the rate of climb in April. It now costs $181.80 to buy what $100 bought in 1967. The index of leading economic indicators rose 1.1% in April, the second highest gain in 9 months. It basically means businessmen are optimistic. The index is a tool to measure future economic activity. Inventory shows substantial expansion for the third straight month. The average worker now spends more to live, but government experts say the rise is moderate. That's a rundown of where the country stands economically. This is Jim Newman.
On Wall Street today, the stock market is closed lower in light trading. The Dow Jones Industrial Average off 5.81, closing at 958.09. This is your news and information station.
WNIS News Time is 3:20 on an absolutely beautiful Monday afternoon after a fantastic weekend. Bit warm out there, 87 degrees in Chicago, and it'll be even warmer tomorrow. We'll have a look at the traffic coming up.
If a custom van is in your plans, bring your stock van to Action Vans, 5030 North Kedzie, or Creative Vehicles in Barrington. Both locations offer everything you'll want, inside and out, for your van, professionally installed exactly to your own specifications. Choose from sunroofs, roof vents, portholes, captain's seats, carpeting, cabinets, sound systems, CB radios, and lots of other options. See Action Vans and Creative Vehicles for spoilers, flares, even custom painting and murals. No job is too big or small. You'll save even more by buying the accessories and installing them yourself. Action Vans at 5030 North Kedzie in Chicago and Creative Vehicles in Barrington on Pepper Road just off Northwest Highway. Both locations open 6 days a week. Action Vans open Mondays and Thursdays till 9. For free estimates and information, phone 583-2623. 583-2623.
Look better and feel better while you enjoy the benefits of great nutrition with an Acme Juicerator. How? It's simple. The Acme Juicerator takes fruits or vegetables and turns them into delicious pulp-free juice, so you can enjoy the juice with all of the vitamins from the fruits or vegetables. The Acme Juicerator is not a blender or a liquefier. It works on a superior principle of separating the pulp from the fruit or vegetable, so you get pure juice. And you'll get pure nutrition, too. You'll look better and feel better. And this is one of the easiest ways to maintain good health. And here's good news. You can adjust your weight with the Acme Juicerator, too, with the use of the fresh fruits or vegetable juices. Yes, now you can look better and feel better while you enjoy the benefits of great nutrition with an Acme Juicerator. For more information about the Acme Juicerator, phone 939-4561. That's 939-4561.
Checking traffic on WNIS on Lakeshore Drive southbound. There's an accident reported at 57th Street causing some delays. The outbound Dan Ryan is heavy from Taylor to Roosevelt Road. Inbound it's heavy from 31st to Taylor. Outbound Eisenhower is slow from Laramie to Central Avenue and stop and go from Des Plaines to 25th. On the Kennedy, it slows up at Division Street as you head outbound in the local lanes, but the express lanes are looking good. And, of course, construction continues on the Stevenson. WNIS News Time, 3:23.
Palestinian refugees in Egypt have accused Syria of planning to assassinate Palestine Liberation Organization leader Yasser Arafat. Details from John Michaels in Cairo.
A spokesman for Fatah, the largest of the Palestinian guerrilla groups, says Syrian soldiers have set ambushes to try to kill Arafat. When the ambushes didn't work, the spokesman says, the Syrian government apologized to the PLO. For the last couple of days, Arafat has been next door in Libya, where Libyan radio says he's been telephoning Arab kings and presidents, appealing for an Arab summit conference to talk about the Syrian-Palestinian clashes in Lebanon. According to Egyptian sources, nine Arab countries have so far agreed to take part. John Michaels in Cairo.
Did you ever have dumplings for dessert? There's a special kind made with cheese that Jerry Damon hardly recommends. Here he is with a recipe.
While the Italians are unsurpassed in their preparation and consumption of literally hundreds of pasta dishes, the Hungarians, who are also great cooks, have specialized in dumplings and hot noodle dishes. Most of the Hungarian dishes of this type are sweet and are meant to be eaten at the end of the meal. One of these tasty little sweets is called Tudós Gombók. These are Hungarian cheese dumplings. They're not difficult to prepare. The result is a little off the beaten path and well worth the small effort. Take a pound of dry cottage cheese. That's the kind that hasn't been creamed. The closest thing you might find at the local market is pot cheese or farmer cheese. Force the cheese through a sieve or a potato ricer. Beat three eggs thoroughly and mix them into the cheese along with 3 tablespoons of sweet butter. Next, add a half cup of semolina, 2 tablespoons of flour, and a half teaspoon of salt. Cover the bowl and let it rest for 2 or 3 hours. When you're ready, bring 4 quarts of water to a boil in a kettle with a tablespoon of salt. Wet your hands with cold running water and roll a dumpling out of the batter about the size of a walnut. Drop only one into the boiling water and cook it about 5 minutes. Take it out and cut it in half. If it's cooked all the way through, proceed with the rest. Otherwise, adjust your cooking time. Separately, melt a half cup of butter in a skillet and brown a half cup of fine breadcrumbs in it. Drain the dumplings, then roll them in the crumbs and arrange them on a serving platter. Cover them with sour cream and sprinkle the top with confectioner's sugar. Follow this with a small glass of Tokay wine. You'll love them both. This is Jerry Damon.
For the first time since she declared a national emergency in her country nearly a year ago, Indian Prime Minister Indira Gandhi is about to go abroad. She begins a 5-day trip to Moscow tomorrow, a jaunt that is expected to cement relations between India and the Soviet Union. The trip is part of the Gandhi moves to invigorate the foreign policy of that country. Relations have been restored with China and Pakistan, and economic ties with France and Iran have recently been strengthened. We'll have more facts and features in just 1 minute.
I want that sinus medicine.
A headache tablet?
No. The sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure, and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sign-Off.
Exactly.
Compare Sign-Off to any other sinus tablet. You'll find no sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. When you take Sign-Off tablets, you get a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer to help sinus pain while you drain. And for the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief, there's Sign-Off Sinus Spray. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. Sign-Off. Take when needed, only as directed. Always insist on Sign-Off.
The sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure, and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sign-Off tablets.
Exactly. Sign-Off. The sinus medicines in the bright red box. S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
WNIS News Time is 3:27. It's 87 degrees in Chicago. Reaction to a proposed countywide head tax. We'll have a Liveline report.
California voters will have more to decide tomorrow than who they favor in the presidential race. There's also a referendum on the ballot that's attracted national interest. Rona Elliott reports.
The controversial nuclear power initiative has mustered endorsements from prestigious people all over the U.S., representing government, science, environmental, and consumer groups. Among those, consumer advocate Ralph Nader, who came to California to tell voters why they must vote yes.
The yes vote on Tuesday for Proposition 15 is really a yes vote for democratic participation in the control of this awesome technology. This is this nuclear power. If something goes wrong, such as terrorists or sabotage or earthquake or internal accident, there's enough radioactive material in those plants to wipe out a major city.
Nader says Californians can't afford nuclear energy no matter what the price. Rona Elliott, NBC News, San Francisco.
The Supreme Court has ruled in two cases that federal installations are not required to obtain a state air and water pollution permit. Correspondent David Rush has details.
The rulings were in a clean air lawsuit brought by the state of Kentucky and an air pollution case involving California and Washington states. The court said under federal laws, federal facilities must meet clean air and water standards set forth by the states. But that does not mean states have power to license or enforce the standards against such facilities. The states had argued that since they are required to establish standards and enforcement procedures, by implication they can be applied to federal installations. In each case, the Supreme Court's ruling was 7-2, with Justices Stewart and Rehnquist dissenting. David Rush, NBC News, Washington.
Time out, 29 after the hour. Among the top stories so far today, Syrian jet fighters strafed Muslim positions in Beirut today. A Syrian military intervention threatens to escalate Lebanon's civil war into an international conflict.
President Ford announces import quotas on foreign steel as he campaigns in the steel city of Middletown, Ohio.
A strong earthquake shook southwestern Mexico today. Scattered damage is reported. At least five people were injured.
Nearly one-third of the delegate votes needed to secure both Democratic and Republican nominations are at stake in three big presidential primaries tomorrow in Ohio, New Jersey, and California.
Senator Hubert Humphrey says he thinks Jimmy Carter will be the Democratic candidate if he wins in Ohio and New Jersey tomorrow, but that if Carter fails to do that, it will be an open convention.
On Wall Street, the market has closed lower in light trading. The Dow Jones average down 5.81, closing at 958.09. All news, all day, every day. This is your news and information service with Dave Henderson. I'm Rosemary Fresino.
WNIS FM Chicago.
It's 87 degrees at Midway, and at O'Hare it's 74 degrees along the lakefront. Good afternoon, I'm Roger Schatz, and among the stories we're following for you at 3:30, there's been reaction to a proposed countywide head tax from several sources. We'll have a Liveline report with one of them. A Cook County public defender is charged with taking a bribe. And the city's new Economic Development Commission may bring 50,000 new jobs to Chicago in the next 5 years. The Cook County Board is considering adoption of the City of Chicago's head tax idea. That is, employers would be charged about $3, possibly more, per employee per month. The Daily-dominated board will likely accept the tax, although one of the arguments against such taxation is that business will not continue to locate where such taxes exist. On our WNIS Live line is Mr. John Coulter, the chairman of the Chicago Association of Commerce and Industry. Mr. Coulter, obviously you're not pleased with the head tax idea.
Well, no. When the city proposed and adopted its employer expense tax, or head tax, this association sued them in Illinois courts to remove it. So I'm sure that the natural reaction of our membership would be in opposition. Now, it seems odd to us that either the city or county would wish to tax what they most dearly want to remain in the area and, of course, attract from outside areas. So it doesn't make much sense to us. We feel it's counterproductive.
Do you know, certainly, sir, that companies have come to you in making possible investigations regarding locating in Chicago, and have they asked specifically about the head tax?
No, they ask about taxes, and of course we don't attempt to hide that there is a head tax or employer's expense tax. Now you might ask the question, has anybody moved out of the city as a result of the head tax, employer expense tax there? At least one firm has. Prudential moved most of their office operations to Hobart, Indiana. Their stated reason was to escape the head tax.
And do you know of any other companies that might be thinking the same way?
There have been a few that have moved out of the city and the county, When you talk about taxes, it's hard to say which bites the most. We have state taxes, for example, or state revenue collections, workmen's compensation, and unemployment compensation that have greatly increased in the last year and a half. It's hard to divorce these from the head tax specifically to know which specific bite hurts the worst. There have been some movements out of the area, perhaps not too many, but they've been significant. And we feel that the new collection of taxes, of course, are negatives as far as these companies were concerned. In the case of Prudential, they specifically stated that the head tax was a deterrent, and they moved their office operations to Hobart, Indiana.
Would your association sue once again?
I can't honestly anticipate that, but we did in the case of the city head tax.
Mr. Coulter, thank you very much for your time. Mr. John Coulter, the chairman of the Chicago Association of Commerce and Industry. The Chicago City Council's Finance Committee today approved Mayor Daley's Economic Development Commission appointments. 19 persons will sit on the commission, whose job it will be to bring new commerce and industry into the city. There was some very optimistic thinking coming from some of the new appointees today. They feel that 50,000 new jobs can be created in the next 5 years, especially in the new mini-industrial park programs, which are planned. An assistant public defender working for Cook County was indefinitely suspended today for allegedly accepting a bribe of $700. Peter Wonius of Norridge was arrested Friday after he reportedly accepted the money in return for a pledge that he would terminate a burglary charge filed against a client. Apparently, the money was marked when Wonius was said to have taken it in the backyard of a client's home. The latest on the concrete bribery trial coming up after this.
You haven't seen America till you've seen Marriott's Great America.
It's the country of fun for everyone. It's Marriott's Great America. The rides are great, the shows are great, the fun is great. At Marriott's Great America.
Enjoy the world's newest collection of thrill rides. You'll find most everything. The very first triple-arm Ferris wheel, two gigantic log flumes, and the longest double-loop roller coaster. Even a two-level million-dollar carousel. It's a country full of spectacular rides and shows for just one admission price.
The rides are great, the shows are great, the fun is great.
The country of fun come alive with thousands of glittering lights. Join in the spectacular Mardi Gras parade. Spend an unforgettable evening at Marriott's Great America this week. The Jewel Food Store time is 3:35, and that's a good time to sweeten your warm weather eating with GW or Domino Sugar from Jewel. The 5-pound bag is just 99 cents with a $3 purchase through Sunday at Jewel. The trial involving some present and one-time state legislators and the ready-mix concrete industry continued today in Chicago's federal court. The defendants are charged with accepting bribe money in return for favorable legislation. WNIS reporter Walt Hamilton has more on the story.
One of the non-lawmaker defendants, Francis Sheehan of Highland Park, on the witness stand, was questioned by his attorney, Robert Weber. The former president of the Northern Illinois Ready Mix and Materials Association, called NERMA, flatly denied he had anything to do with setting up a slush fund that the government contends was used to bribe the legislators. Sheehan admitted that a lobbyist for the Materials Service Corporation in Chicago, James McBride, did come to an October 1971 board meeting of NERMA, where such a fund apparently was talked over. But Sheehan said he left that meeting early. He denied ever meeting, talking, or communicating in any way about the slush fund with any of the other defendants. This is Walt Hamilton.
Now let's look at our AccuWeather forecast.
Sunny, very warm days and fair nights through Wednesday. Daytime highs will climb to within a few degrees of 90 each afternoon, except a minimal lake breeze will keep it cooler right near the water. Overnight low temperatures 64 to 68. For AccuWeather, this is meteorologist John Cosette.
It's 87 degrees at Midway and at O'Hare, 74 degrees along the lakefront. WNIS News Time is 3:37. Coming up in 1 minute, Campaign 76.
I want that sinus medicine.
A headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure, and post-nasal drip.
You mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff to any other sinus tablet. You'll find no sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. When you take Sinoff tablets, you get a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer to help sinus pain while you drain. And for the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief, there's Sinoff Sinus Spray. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. Sinoff. Take when needed, only as directed. Always insist on Sinoff.
The sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure, and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff tablets.
Exactly. Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
From Los Angeles, this is Tom Pettit on the NBC Radio Network with the Campaign of 76. Well, the last of the primaries will be tomorrow, and not a moment too soon. Let's take a look at what will be happening tomorrow in California, Ohio, and New Jersey. The three states will be electing a total of 386 Republican delegates and 485 Democratic delegates. That's a lot. In simple terms, it means about one-third of the delegates needed to win the nomination will be named in each party. But unless there's a big surprise, no candidate in either party will win enough delegates tomorrow to guarantee the nomination. Not Ford, not Reagan, not Carter. You almost need a pocket computer to keep track of the delegate selection process and what the various rules mean. For example, here in California, the Republican race is for 167 delegates, and the Democratic race for 280 delegates. But no Democrat can get all of the 280. On the other hand, a Republican can win all the 167. It's really confusing. How can this be? Well, the law is the Republican primary is winner take all. So the Republican winner gets everything. But the Democratic winner will get only a proportional share of the delegates. If you get 25% of the vote, you get 25% of the delegates. If you get 50%, you get half the delegates. So if you are a Democratic candidate and your delegates get 75% of the vote, you get 75% of the delegates. These delegate slates provide statewide races for at-large positions at the conventions. And the same process is followed by delegate slates in each congressional district. It's so complicated, I don't understand it. But what it means is simple. Jerry Brown, the favorite, cannot win all the delegates, even if he wins a huge popular vote victory over Jimmy Carter here in California. Carter will get his share. And if you add to this complicated rules in Ohio and New Jersey, well, tomorrow will not be conclusive, and the selection process for presidential candidates will grind on. Tom Pettit, NBC News, Los Angeles.
WNIS News Time is 3:40. Once again, the stock market finished lower. On our WNIS Live line, here's Steve Egan.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, the market finished lower on light trading. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 5.81, closing at 958.09. Transportations were down 2.16, and utilities were up 0.23. Volume traded, 14.5 million shares. The most active stocks were Phelps Dodge, down an eighth, Southern Company, down an eighth, and General Motors, down a quarter. There were 417 advances, 1,031 declines, and 394 issues unchanged. Locally, we had Sears down a half, and McDonald's down 1.25. In commodities, on the Chicago Board of Trade, July wheat was up 7.75 cents, July soybeans up the limit. On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, June cattle settled down 150 points, and July bellies were up the daily limit. This has been your afternoon closing report. I'm Steve Egan, speaking from the boardroom of Smith Barney, Harris Upham and Company.
In sports news, the White Sox and the Cubs both have the day off. The Cubs open a series against Atlanta tomorrow. The Sox are in Milwaukee tomorrow night against the Brewers.
Rod Racing, one of the growing sports in America. I'm Nat Ash. The Winston National Hot Rod Association Championship Series, being held at State Capitol Dragway in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, sputtered to a halt late yesterday, the hapless victim of the elements. Seems you can't drag race with any efficiency when it rains. It is, however, a major meet. So let's go now to Baton Rouge and an up-to-the-moment Liveline report from Ralph Smith. Ralph, have the heavens relented? Will there be racing? Can someone in hot rods find happiness in Baton Rouge?
Well, Nat, following a driver's meeting today, NHRA and track officials elected to get that race in tonight. The gates will open in about 20 minutes, but the first major event won't take place till about 8 p.m. Central Time. Before qualifying runs halted last night, Richard Tharp led the top fuel nitro burning dragsters after clocking a speed of 229 miles per hour down the quarter-mile strip. Another top contender tonight will be the nation's only female post-op driver, Shay Nichols of Arlington, Texas. She'll be in a specially prepared supercharged Plymouth.